So anyway, as I was saying, I kept all the envelopes from everything you've ever sent me in the mail because for months when we first met, I don't know why, but I was convinced that you lived in a place called Foul Mouth. As in, you have a foul mouth.
Oh yeah, I remember you pronouncing it that way.
I thought it was funny. I just enjoyed the idea that there is a town out there called Foul Mouth, and that the town motto is, go f*** yourself, because people curse at each other all the time.
I mean, I don't know of that town yet, but it very, very, very likely that it exists out there. The world is a large, vast place, Jeff. So I think that it's probably out there. You just have to look for it. And visit it. You're probably the only person, they're probably like three people who live in Foul Mouth, and they're all old elderly men. And
they just like to eat saltines and drink tea and be vaguely racist while they wait for their ass to fall out.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like a great vacation. I would go there any day of the week.
And welcome to Into the Fold, a show where two best friends share their love of Leigh Bardugo's Grishaverse chapter by chapter. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Juliana, and this week we are talking about Siege and Storm chapters 9 and 10. Welcome, listeners. We're so happy to have you back. Yay!
We are happy to be back, and my hair is pink.
Jeff's hair is a nice, vibrant shade of pink.
It really
is. He is just exuding Valentine's Day heart aesthetic. He looks like a giant fireball of fun, and we're happy to have him.
I look like a what?
A giant fireball of fun.
Okay. The category is giant fireball of fun. Think pink realness.
I mean, honestly, that is a great drag category. I think that any drag queen out there would kill that category.
Every drag category can be a great drag category if you really sell it. That is the key. No matter how ridiculous it sounds, you can sell it if you have the right hook. And 14 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, not to mention God only knows how many seasons of how many other series of Drag Race there are now. There's one in every inhabited country, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
How many are there now? There's US, Canada, Spain, Italy, Holland, UK, Down Under, Thailand. UK just did UK versus the world. They've got All Stars in America. So there's like 10 or 11. And now it's to the point where they're all releasing seasons simultaneously. We used to have to wait 9 months, it felt like, to get a new season of Drag Race. Now, you don't even have to wait 2 weeks, and some of them run at the same time.
Yeah, we just have so much fabulousness.
So much.
Well, Jeff, I guess the good thing is that I felt like these chapters that we're going to talk about had some of that drag queen realness to them, and that drama, my friend.
Oh my gosh, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you like triangles?
I love a triangle. I love, like, what is that? It's not a 90 degree angle. It's an 80. Is it a 30?
45?
45.
Is it? I don't know the angles of triangles.
Give me three of those 45 degree angles and I'm a happy girl.
There we go. That probably makes a triangle.
Yeah.
Probably. We're good at math. I'll ask my brother. He teaches math. Anyway, we are talking about chapters 9 and 10, as Juliana said, and this is the part, last week was the part where it started to get harder for me to defend Mal to you.
Oh,
now
just wait.
Is the part where we have this triangle of f***ery going on, and
pretty
Alina's
much,
here, Mal's over there, Nikolai's over here, and we just, you know what? Let's not wait anymore. Let's do the news from the front so we can get into this.
I think that's a great idea, Jeff.
Woo! News!
News. We have a little tiny bit of news, don't we, Jeff?
We do have a little tiny... That's why I gave a little tiny intro to the news, because we have a little tiny bit of news to talk about. You know what we forgot? We forgot something. Do you know what it is?
What did we forget?
Last time we were here, recording an episode together, as soon as we were done, we went and we recorded a really fun crossover with our friends Spencer and Jess over at Twilight Pod.
Yes, we did. And we actually posted that episode with them on their podcast to our feed. So if you'd like to listen to that, you can head on over to the feed that you're currently listening to this podcast on. Or if you want to go give them a little tick on their listening tally over there, you can head to Twilight Pod, which is under, which is lowercase T-W-I and then uppercase L-I-T. Because apparently Twilight is all lowercase letters on the cover, and I learned that.
I can't believe I didn't know that either. I never thought about it.
Never even crossed my mind. I've read those books when they came out. I've known them for a really long time. Never did I even realize that it was fully just lowercase letters on the covers.
We talk, it's funny. Their show has, as the title will suggest, they've been doing more or less what we've been doing, and they actually started before our show did, but they've been doing it with the Twilight books because Jess is a lifelong Twilight fan and Spencer had never read the books. So now they're taking that journey similar to the one we're taking with these books, but they're almost done with the Twilight books. I think we actually talked about this in our episode. We tried to spend an equal amount of time talking about the Grishaverse and our experience with Twilight, but I think they are getting close to being done with the Twilight books and then they're going to move into other YA kind of books.
Yeah, and we might be doing some more collaborations with them as they move forward, because we really loved having that episode with them and just acquiring them as our friends now. So
it's
thank
true
you.
Our network of podcast friendship is growing.
We have
Sombra y Cuervos, we have Twilight Pod now, we have our friends at That Pretentious Book Club.
Yeah,
shout out to Wheezy and Dr. Spoon's Palermo. They keep reviewing the books. On just a brief side about That Pretentious Book Club, we did Six of Crows with them. I think we've talked about sometime doing Crooked Kingdom with them, but they keep doing, lately they've been doing books that I've been meaning to read for a while but never did, or books that I was supposed to read in school but I didn't.
Oh, you naughty boy, Jeff, you naughty naughty boy.
I did not read the books in school.
That's okay. I've written many a book report in school with only reading the back cover of the book. I remember when I was in college, my freshman roommate, we had to write like a 1,000-word essay for one of our first year. Is it college or are you a college freshman?
College admissions essay.
It was something for one of our basic level classes.
Oh, is it AP classes?
No, it was in college. She was my college roommate. It was our first year in college, and we had this like basic English class that we all had to take as a gen ed. And she was like, I don't think I can write 1,000 words. I was like, Laura, let me teach you the lessons of the bullshittery and how you can add in all these extra words and make it as long and take the same sentence and say it like 3 times in a row, but 5 different ways and make it sound like you're smarter than you are. So needless to say, she hit her word count and we were good. So everything was fine.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. It's the fine art of bullshittery, Jeff.
You want to talk about bullshittery? We said there was hardly any news and we are now stretching this out by talking about whatever we feel like talking about.
I know. This is more like the rant zone.
Yeah, what we meant was there is very little news about the fandom. We didn't mean we weren't going to talk for a long time, which we're obviously determined to do.
Yeah, but I guess going back to fandom news, the only other real piece of like fandom news kind of is that it was just International Women's Day.
Is that fandom news?
I think it is, because we have a lot of really awesome women in this book. and in these books. And I think that it's great to just celebrate how fabulous they are. As we go forward with the books, we're going to get even more amazing women on top of the ones that we already have. So we're really excited to bring those lovely ladies and female identifying friends into the fold with us here. But Jeff, do we have a favorite woman so far? Who do you think our favorite person who is a female identifying person is thus far?
I think I have an idea who it could possibly be. Why don't we say it together?
Okay.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Tamar!
Beep, 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 beep.
We love Tamar. She's just, she's
so
amazing.
Much.
She's so great. And she's even better as we go forward in these chapters, too. So she's one of the people in these chapters that I was not mad at. So that's great. That's a good thing.
And I will say it repeatedly. Tamar can get it. Her brother can get it.
Yep.
Most of the characters in this book, they hot. On the show, them actors, they can get it.
They hot.
Yes, they are everybody's type.
Okay, so listeners, our only last piece and the most exciting thing on our news this week is that this coming Saturday, the 19th, is the one, the only, the fireball himself, Jeffrey Hutton's birthday. He's going to be an old man. He's very excited. He just...
Oh my God. Okay, you started that off with such promise, and then you were like, he is going to be an old man.
He's going to be an old man. Just very, very, very old. Jeff, how do you feel about being old?
Kind of cranky. Like, I want to just drink tea and eat saltines and do my crossword puzzle and just tell people that things aren't as good as they used to be when they were kind of always shitty.
Yeah. You're going to go move to Foulmouth.
Yes, I'm going to move to Foulmouth and become the mayor.
The mayor of Foulmouth.
Yes, I will be the mayor of... You know what? I will be the mayor of Foulmouth wherever I am at. Okay? Mm. No, but for real, on my birthday, my wife and I are going to be at an anime convention in Evansville, and I will be volunteering most of the time because she asked what I wanted to do for my birthday, and I said that. 2 years ago, before the pandemic made everything not happen for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to be so excited to be back at Comic-Con, too, so that'll probably be a really fun experience.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I hope that you have a lovely birthday. And obviously, Jeff and I will be talking. Like,
yes.
Anyway, so, well, I'm wishing
sure.
Happy birthday. Yeah. But, okay, so next, we will get into the voice of the people. Okay, listeners, so we have some exciting news because we have not updated this recently, but our Grisha tally has been updated. We have some new people who are joining us in our Grisha tally. We have four new Aetherialkai. We have a crystal dragon and their husband.
Mm-hmm.
We have Meredith and we have Cat Blue 37. So those four people are joining us in the Aetherialkai category, bringing their total up to 15. We did not have any new Corporealkai, so they are still at 11. And then me and the rest of the Materialkai are still at 5.
You know what we should do? Now that we have... The Aetherialkai have pulled so far ahead of the Corporealkai and the Materialkai that we should go in and we should figure out amongst those 15 Aetherialkai, how does that break down? Because we just got 3 Inferni and 1 Squalor. So we should check how many Inferni, how many Squalors, and how many Tidemakers. Because I feel like we really don't have... Unless I'm just remembering wrong, I don't feel like we have that many Tide Makers.
No, I don't think we do. I think that would be interesting to find out. So, listeners, if you have submitted yourself to our tally already, just let me know over on Instagram what suborder you are in the Aetherialkai category. Or, if you'd like to have yourself added to this tally, just let us know either on Twitter or Instagram or send us an email at intothefullpod@gmail.com and we will add you to this tally. And maybe at some point we will do something with this tally, Jeff. I don't know what it will be. Maybe we'll have like a contest between the 3 orders once we get enough people in each of them. I don't know. Listeners, if you have any ideas, you can let us know about that as well. But Jeff, we have one more thing from the Voice of the People. What is that?
We got a review, and normally the reviews that we read on the show are through Apple Podcasts because it's one of the few channels that our show goes out through that actually allows you to write written reviews. A lot of people will know already that on Spotify, they've started doing a star rating system, but they have not yet let people write written reviews that have actual words. So when A Crystal Dragon added herself and her husband to our Grisha tally, they also said, "I gave y'all a 5-star review on Spotify, but I wanted y'all to know you're one of the few podcasts I've listened to, but my favorite by far."
Yay! That was so
that
nice.
Could be 2, that could be 3, it could be 100. I prefer to think, in my head canon, this is canon now, A Crystal Dragon has listened to 100 podcasts because they're hoarding podcasts, because, you know, dragon, and out of 100 podcasts, ours is their favorite by far.
Yeah.
If they are Smaug the Dragon and the podcast they listen to is that giant cave of gold, then we are the shiny egg, whatever that thing was that the Hobbit goes in looking for. I don't remember the movie that well.
Oh, yeah. They go to the Morag.
Sure.
They go to the Morag. That's where Gandalf lives.
Sure. That sounds right. And Mel Not Mal is going to be thrilled that I'm making a reference to the Lord of the Rings universe, and probably not thrilled that I am not remembering any specifics at all.
Do you know what the relationship between Bilbo and Frodo is?
He's his uncle.
Darn, you do know. I thought they were dating.
You thought that, what?
I thought they were dating.
Why did you think that? Because he gave him a ring?
That's just what I remember. I watched these movies in like 6th grade and I actively blocked them out of my brain and I have not watched them since.
Wow. Okay.
So I thought they were dating.
Okay. First of all, Bilbo Baggins, Frodo Baggins, that didn't throw up any red flags for you?
They could be married.
You don't think they would have made a point of stressing that?
I don't remember.
Okay. I am eternally grateful for what you are doing right now, because you're actually taking the heat off of me. It's one thing for me to admit I don't remember the names of stuff. It's another for you to create something that could not possibly work in your head canon. So Mel Not Mal is now going to be much more furious with you than me.
Oh, so Jeff, just as a side note, so I actually recorded for Mel what I thought Lord of the Rings was about, and she actually shared it with our friend Ryan, who has his own podcast called Geek Speak, and they actually played it on the recent episode that came out yesterday, and he had his co-host react to what I thought Lord of the Rings was about.
Oh my god, I have to hear that. Was that the same Ryan who sent you guys all that stuff for Puffcast?
Yeah.
But he's smart.
Yeah, he's a
really
smart guy.
Shout out to Ryan. Go check out that show that he does. I haven't listened to it, but hearing all the stuff he sent you guys for Puffcast when you guys were catching up on Fantastic Beast stuff, wow.
Yeah.
He is a smart cookie.
He does Geek Speak podcast, and yeah, we had him contribute to Puffcast, which was awesome. And yeah, Mel sent him over my voice message of what I thought Lord of the Rings were. So listeners, if you want to be offended by what I think Lord of the Rings is about, go ahead and listen to the most recent episode of Geek Speak Podcast, wherever pods are cast, and you can hear me tell you more about the Morag.
Well, I think it would be good for us to get into some of these triangle discussions that we are dying to have, don't you?
I am just ready for some pointed discussions, Jeff.
I just wish that I had some of those triangle-shaped chips to eat while we're talking about these triangles. Sets the right mood, you know?
Yeah, it definitely. And listeners, what we're going to be talking about is chapters 9 and 10. So if you have not read these chapters and you don't want to be spoiled, maybe stop here. If not, carry on. If you have not read the chapters, worry not. We will be providing summaries. And Jeff will be providing the first summary for chapter 9.
So here's what goes on in chapter 9. So they have just survived the fold. Nikolai has announced that he is Nikolai and that he has brought the Sun Summoner back, for which he is understandably ka-punched by Alina. The crew makes camp and tries to work out their issues. They do a bad job. Mal and Alina argue because punching Nikolai while satisfying was probably not a wise move. Alina tries to explain her new connection to the Fold, but she doesn't do that either because she doesn't understand it that much herself. Nikolai decides to tell the truth about why he puts on the charade of being Sturmhand, but everything he says sounds like a lie because literally everyone in Alina's life keeps doing that to her. It turns out Nikolai actually wants to be king for the right reasons, so he tries to persuade Alina to help him unite the armies and the country by marrying him. Mal doesn't like that, and producing an heir. Mal really doesn't like that. Alina agrees that they should go back with Nikolai and think about his offer, but she wants command of the Second Army in exchange. Mal is insecure, surprise, surprise, and wonders if Alina's determination to save the country will make her eventually forget about him. Or maybe he's just afraid that she will fall in love with Nikolai. Who knows?
I mean, I hope she forgets about him.
I know you do.
These chapters enraged. Oh my God, I was enraged. Both these chapters like set a fire within my soul and kind of inspired the game that we're going to play, Jeff, in a way. And I just, wow.
Oh, I bet.
Wow, 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 wow. If you, listeners, if you thought I hated Mal already, I really hate him now. Like, I have this, like, just thinking about what we're going to talk about now, Jeff, my soul is like burning. It's like,
You know, up until this point, it has. I've said it's getting harder and harder to defend Mal's behavior. We are now at the point of I can't. I'm not going to defend his behavior. I understand why he's doing what he's doing. He doesn't want to get left behind and forgotten about, and he doesn't want the only person he's ever loved to have this great new life that has no connection to him. I get that. But he's going about it the wrong way. And if somebody, anybody, would, like, even if Tolya, you know what I want? I want Tolya to take him aside and say, look, brah, I don't say much, okay? And I don't like getting involved in other people's business, but I've been watching you guys on the ship for a bit now, and I gotta be honest, you're not handling it well. This is some weak sauce, Mal. You are serving up some weak sauce, my friend. You need to just kind of take a step back, get perspective, and just try to find a purpose that isn't connected to this girl.
Yeah, it just frustrates me so, so, so much, Jeff, because he doesn't really even care about Alina until she's taken away. And I feel as though he, up until this point, because of all the circumstances that they're in, obviously, right now, they're kind of in a weird circumstance, was kind of able to live his life and do whatever he wanted, have his girlfriends, have all these other things, and really pretty much do whatever he pleased. And Alina was kind of watching him the whole time and being shoved to the side, and then all of a sudden she's gone, and he's like, oh no, the one person I've always loved, though she's been sitting right there and I've ignored her whole entire life pretty much, oh no, the person I'm really good at ignoring, oh no, she's gone.
Too true. And yet, haven't we all had at least one moment in our lives of you don't know what you got till it's gone? This just happens to be on a large scale, and the thing, you don't know what you got till it's gone, is not a thing, or even an opportunity. It's a person. It's a living, breathing person with autonomy, and she does not, you know what, she doesn't need him. I'll admit it. She loves him. He loves her. They're bad at communicating with each other. Yeah. She doesn't need him. And honestly, she, I think, is starting to recognize, I love him, I want him, I don't need him. He won't let go of the idea that he needs her because he has no purpose left. He can't go back to being in the army now. He's deserted his post.
Yeah, I just love his rationale too when we get to that point in this chapter too, Jeff. Is that chapter this chapter or the next chapter?
I think it's actually the next chapter because it's the next chapter where she asks him to be part of the guard.
Oh, yeah, because that, yeah.
So we'll save that.
You're right.
We talked a lot about Mal, and there's going to be plenty more Mal bashing to go around. Let's kind of shift focus for a moment. Let's talk. You love Nikolai.
I love Nikolai. Oh, my gosh. He is a complex character, and I love that about him, too.
because we've got to know him as Sturmhand. We fell in love with him that way. Now we're getting to know Nikolai. And this is a complicated introduction to a lovable character.
Yeah, he's someone that you hate, but absolutely are drawn to and love at the exact same time. He's so irritating, but you want to be around him. Like,
you really, that's what charisma is.
Yeah, you're just so annoyed by him, but you're like, I want to spend every waking minute in your presence, even though you annoy the living crap out of me.
Yeah, he's magnetic. Because I found myself in reviewing this chapter thinking, okay, take a shot of kvass every time Nikolai says, let me explain, let me finish, okay, hear me out. Because he's now, it's like I said in the summary of the chapter, he is telling the truth now. But Alina has been through so many things like this with other people who turned out to be double crossers, and everything he's doing now seems super suspicious. So she can't just take his word for any of this. He lied about his name. He lied about his face. She doesn't even know if the face she's looking at while he's talking is the same one she's going to see tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and he's talking to about all the lies that he's lived his entire life, about the fact that most of his crew doesn't even know that he's Nikolai, and only a select few of his crew actually even know. And he has his stand-in being paid to be at college for him right now. He's lying on that front too to his family. They think he's at college, and he has someone who both Jeff and I agreed that we want this job.
Yeah, can I get the job of being pretending to be a prince and drinking and going to college again, and I get paid for it? Can I have that job?
Yeah, I mean, like, that sounds like a pretty like plush job, Jeff. I definitely would be like to be in the running for that. But I feel like between the two of us, you might win because you're definitely a little bit more charismatic and also male presenting. And I am definitely much more female presenting. So I don't know if I could carry the Nikolai look, you know.
I think you could do it.
I'd need some good contouring on my face, I feel like.
Trust me, I think you could do it. It could be done.
Okay. I'll take the job then. Thank you for interviewing me. I will take my job. I will be going to college and I will be being paid. Thank you very much.
Now, he does have a point about hiding his true identity when being on the ship, because I remember hearing about a lot of members of like the British royal family. They have to do military service, and a lot of them don't just do the kind of thing. Like, he talks about his brother Vasily, which, by the way, can we not? I don't want to meet him. We have to meet him. I know we have to meet him. Can we just not? Can we pretend that we don't have to meet Vasily? I hate him. I hate him. My instant reaction to this brief description of Vasily is I don't want to be anywhere near him. I already hate him.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the rest of Nikolai's family is trash.
They're bad. I mean, we know all about his father. We know a little bit about his mother.
We've only really heard kind of trash things about so far. So
just it's no wonder he wanted to get away from them and do other things. So I guess when you look at it that way, it makes sense that he had to hide his identity, because he says himself he didn't want to just take a command post and hang out in a tent all day. That's useless. He wanted to actually get out there and do something real. So he has a point about using a fake name while on his ship, because I was saying a minute ago about the British royal family, when they do their military service, a lot of times they have to use code names when they're actually out on the ship so that the enemy wouldn't know that that's who's there. Otherwise, that ship would instantly become a target.
Yeah. I think that Nikolai makes a lot of really great points, and even though you're kind of mad at him for lying to you this entire time and lying to his crew and his family, you can see exactly why he did these things, and I'm assuming you as well, Jeff, have a certain level of empathy for him, and you feel for him as a character, and you understand why he did these things, which again makes him a more relatable and lovable character on the whole, even though he's doing these things that we would technically qualify as bad or not good or sinister. We still love him because we can see exactly why he did it, and he doesn't do it for a bad reason. And I think that's why we can see like through all of this and be able to love him even more, because in the end, he's pretty much doing all these things because he wants an actual better future for the country of Ravka. And he wants to do that on his own and not just sit on a throne and yell at people. But to get to that point, he has to kind of play his cards, per se. And we can see why he played that hand. And I think that's, again, why a reason he is so awesome and why I love him so much as a character, too.
You know what we love to do on the show? And anybody who's what? Listened to more than a couple episodes knows this. We draw comparisons with the Harry Potter universe constantly. Yeah. So get ready to walk down memory lane, because I get huge Sirius Black vibes from him.
Ooh, yeah.
He's the black sheep of his family, mm-hmm. but only because he doesn't want to act like a spoiled, privileged, self-righteous brat who thinks he's better than everybody else and just sit around hoarding his money and lording his status over other people. He wants to actually get out there in the trenches and do something real for the cause. We won't get into what Sirius Black the character tends into in later life, because it's more the comparisons between younger Sirius Black and Nikolai, who I'm guessing would be about the same age. But I see a lot of similarities between how they relate to their families and how they interact with the wider world around them and what they want to accomplish for it.
Yeah, and both of them are very like tactile people. They want to be physically part of what's happening and not just make decisions. They want to actually be part of the action. And we see that a lot with Sirius Black, too. He has a really hard time sometimes not being part of the action, which mm-hmm. is a big plot line in Order of the Phoenix when he's stuck up everywhere. And he just like really wants to be part of the action. And that's kind of what we see from Nikolai, too, is that he was stuck up at the palace, or he's stuck up being one of the commanding officers in the army section he was set to, and he's like, no, I want to actually fight people. I want to be on the battlegrounds and be doing things and enacting real change here. And to me, that kind of, and this is just my personal read on it, reads as more of like an ADHD kind of thing, just because mm-hmm. I know for me personally, a lot of ADHD people are very tactile and we like to just like jump in and are kind of impulsive and like to just be part of the action that's going on. And to me, that kind of reads a little bit as that, which is not a bad thing. It's just, as someone who has ADHD, I kind of read into it a little bit like that.
I think that's a very accurate and succinct summary that you just gave there. A lot of that, it does fit. And I think people have had that discussion about Sirius Black and certain other characters in that universe about whether or not they may be ADHD or certain other. I know that there certainly has been a lot of discussion about whether or not characters in that universe may have certain conditions or certain obstacles that they live with. And I'd be fascinated to see somebody attempt to do likewise with the characters in this universe as well.
Yeah, so more recently, Jeff, and I think I told you this, it's kind of the main category for like ADHD or OCD or thing like that is to call it like neurodivergency. Mm-hmm. But I heard on another podcast, people call it neurospicy. So I call it neurospicy.
Oh, neurospicy.
So we have neurospicy brains over here.
Neurospicy. I like that. I like it. And I hope that nobody who hears this takes offense to it, because I would feel bad.
Wouldn't you rather have a spiced up brain than a non-spicy brain? I'd rather have a spicy brain.
Personally, I would.
Yeah.
You know who else has a very spicy brain right about now?
Probably Alina, because she's mad at what's happening and she's kind of being thrown around like a rag doll.
I mean, they really are. I mean, at one point, Alina literally has to tell the two of these very stubborn men, Mal and Nikolai, to stop talking about her as if she isn't in the room. Don't you hate when they do that?
This gave me big Twilight vibes.
Like,
really big Edward versus Jacob Twilight vibes here. And I was just like, ooh, Twilight. And yeah, it's so disrespectful. It's so misogynistic, and it really bothers me. And again, this is just another thing that goes into the why I hate Mal category, and it doesn't look good on Nikolai either. I mean, granted, I said I love Nikolai, but he makes bad decisions as well.
They are both trying to insist that they know what is best for her for different reasons. Mal is saying, we have a history, we have a legacy, we connect in a way that neither of us will ever connect with anybody, and we don't want to be part of your stupid, messy war anymore. Stop treating her like an object. And Nikolai is saying, you have absolutely no perspective on what is going on. The world will be destroyed. This country will be destroyed if we don't do something about it. So even though I'm sure none of us want it to go down this way, this is what we have to do. So you need to get some perspective on not letting the whole world go up in flames. I'm not trying to take your girlfriend. I'm just trying to hold up an entire country. What have you ever done?
Oh, I found the stag.
Oh, yeah, he found a stag.
Yeah, he found a stag. He found a stag because Alina asked him to. He found the sea whip because the Darkling blackmailed him into it with torture. So could he have found these things without being forced into doing it?
Probably not.
Maybe. Probably not. Doesn't matter, because now we're here and these three people are fighting, and Alina, I feel like, is the only one that is, she's standing up for herself. Mal is trying to stand up, let's be honest, Mal is trying to stand up for Mal, Nikolai is trying to stand up for Ravka, and Alina is just trying to get the two of them to stop being misogynistic little bitch. And she wants to, you know what she wants to do? She wants to command an army of Grisha.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I think she's the perfect person for it.
You know what? Good luck with that, because commanding that army, thank goodness she won't have to deal with Ivan, because Ivan has deserted to join the Darkling. FYI.
Yeah. FYI.
FYI, and that's all we're going to say. It's in one of the earlier episodes. Figure it out. Anyway, what I'm really thinking is, even with Ivan gone, she's still going to have to figure out how to command Zoya Nazielensky. Would you want to tell Zoya Nazielensky what to do? I would not.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a challenge.
She does not listen to anybody unless they force her to. And even then, it doesn't usually go that well, because she is very, very powerful, very confident, very independent. And yet, I feel like there's this soft little nougaty center of Ravkin pride and family issues that we have definitely not gotten into yet.
Not yet.
But anytime, even just...
Stay tuned.
Even just what we've learned about Zoya so far, I can't help but feel that with characters like this, there is always going to be that moment where you realize, oh, they actually have thoughts and feelings and a perfectly good explanation for their less admirable personality traits. And when you learn that, you usually think, oh, I feel like kind of a d- now.
Yeah. Well, I think that Alina definitely is up for a challenge with the first army. It's the first. They're the first army,
It's the second army. The first army.
Sorry, yeah, it's the second
army. Yeah, because they had the army, and then they had the other army that the Darkling has been in charge of for, like, ever.
Okay, yeah. I think she's definitely in for a challenge with the second army, but I think that she can do it. She's definitely gathering her confidence levels, and we can see her getting more and more confident as the books go on. And I will say, the less Mal that there is, the more confidence Alina seems to have in herself. Wow, what an interesting relationship there that is going on. The less Mal is around, the more Alina realizes that she is a strong kick-ass bitch and can take on anything by herself. And does not need this puny little insecure bitch of a man, and she can do it herself. And I think that Mal kind of retreating at the end of this chapter and just being like, I am sad and I'm jealous, I am a little tiny whiny little salty insecure little bitch, and I am going to just hide in the shadows right now, I think that's good, because that's where he belongs. He belongs in his corner, crying, and Alina belongs front center stage, letting her light shine and being the amazing woman we know she is. I hate Mal. Thank you.
Do you?
Do you want me to read verbatim what I wrote in the doc, Jeff?
No, because I think we need to move on to the next chapter.
Yes, yeah, so chapter 10. The Darkling's big stunt has split Ravka in two. Grisha versus the Okizatsia. It's time to move the supplies, aka gifts. Across the fold, though. Luckily, the Darkling hasn't popped over for a visit yet in Alina's mind. Though, maybe it's because we have her trusty support Mal with us, aka our angry controlling boyfriend who Alina worries way too much about. Honestly, Mal just spends this whole chapter unhappy. We're just going to leave it there. He's just never happy this entire chapter. And it does not change at all. And Alina just has to accept that. It just is what it is. Mal is a salty little bitch. Like Mal, Alina has a lot of feelings as they go through the old villages, except hers are those of sadness and empathy for those lost in Novokhabirsk. They were the people she had helped the Darkling kill, which is kind of sad. As they move on, Alina gets to see her own bones outside of her body and learns that she's quite the good luck charm. Oh, and she's still a very popular saint. Back in Vernos, we see another face of Nikolai, the subject's favorite prince. Then it's time for a group dinner, and they go over the long, 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 long list of places that they are going to parade around to. Then, gets real. We get the DL from Nikolai, aka How to Be a Royal 101, while Mal teaches us how to be an angry, controlling boyfriend 101. Nikolai's got cred, and he's gotten it the hard way, we learn. And then it's time for an Alina parade, and Alina really hates this. She does not like being on this Alina parade, and Nikolai is truly living his best life right now in this chapter, bringing all of the drama with the sunsets and the sunrises. People on their tour hail her as a saint, which she absolutely hates, but she hates the Apparat's creepy pilgrims the most, as do we. The pilgrims are looking for Alina to save the world, and she protests because she doesn't want to do that. She wants to save the world. Oh, oops.
They want her to save the world with, like, some kind of divine power that they think she has because the Apparat has convinced everybody that she was reborn as a saint. That's not how... it's not what they want her to do. It's how they want her to do it, because she wants to do it by uniting the armies, uniting the country, defeating the Darkling, fair and square. She doesn't want to be the savior of mankind. Yeah. She just wants to be a really awesome regular person who stepped up and did what needed to be done.
Well, this is kind of the point in the books where we really start to see Alina grappling with who she thinks she is in her head versus who she actually is, because I feel like in the first book she's kind of coming into the fact that she is a sun summoner, and she is having a hard time accepting that, and doesn't really have much proof, though, as to how powerful she is as a sun summoner. But now she, like, legitimately is a very powerful sun summoner, and she still in her head is like, I am crap. I can't do anything. I am not this person they're asking me to be. But then in reality, she's, like, blowing up ships with the amount of warmth that she can create, essentially. Uh-huh. And she's very powerful, and she just doesn't want to accept the fact that maybe she actually is even like a little bit of what these people think she is.
Right. And once again, it all comes back to scale, because we can all relate to having that inner saboteur that makes us think, oh, we're not actually good enough at what we want to do. Maybe we're not actually meant to have the things that make us happy. We can relate to that, but we can't relate to exactly what it is that she's trying to be good at and exactly what it is she wants to accomplish, because it's on a much larger scale than any of us ever have or ever will have to actually do.
Yeah, and she just has it being pushed on her in some really, like, bizarre ways, especially with the pilgrims asking her to do certain things and, like, seeing her bones being sold, quote-unquote, outside. It's kind of a weird way to see how your power has affected people and their morale.
Yeah, and I guess people assume that when she was reborn into a new body, because nobody seems to question that she is still alive and yet at the same time her bones are for sale.
Yeah, they must think that she either created her own new body or her soul went into someone else's body or something. I'm assuming they're thinking that her body, her soul, like, escaped that old body and created its own new one, because there's no, some people should have seen her beforehand and seen that she looks the same now as she did before, essentially.
Girl, I don't know. Just don't hold your breath for a lot of discussion of what is a soul, where does it come from, where does it go. They really don't get into that.
No.
The closest we get is that Grisha live a lot longer than most people do, because using their power rejuvenates their body and keeps them going, but they are still mortal creatures who are more than capable of getting killed, and they do. They get killed. A lot of them do. Sometimes you don't get killed. Sometimes you're just in Ravka minding your own business and this giant shadow's moving towards you that's probably nothing, and the next thing you know, you don't know anything because you're a Vulcra.
Yeah.
What do you think is worse, though? This moment where they're traveling along the road and she sees the names and the ages of all the people who perished, like children all the way up to very elderly people, like people who legitimately died before their time or in ways they didn't deserve to, or seeing Vulcra who are alive and yet have no awareness of themselves and they're stuck that way.
I think for me, the Vulcra would be worse, just because it's a continued form of torture on these people. I'm kind of in the camp of, like, when I get to be an elderly person, if I get to be, like, a vegetable, or I am being more of a burden than I am a help, essentially, just get rid of me. Just give me, like, an oversized dose of morphine and just, like, put me out. That's what I want. That's kind of the camp that I'm coming from. Granted, I do work in elderly care, and I see this, I see a lot of things a lot around elderly people, so I have a lot of opinions just based on my job, but I definitely feel a certain, like, such a level of empathy and sadness for these Vulcra, because I'm sure on some level they can remember being a human or have some kind of humanoid brain function inside of them, and especially if you were part of the original, like, swipe of Vulcra, of the people who were turned into Vulcra and not just, like, born as Vulcra, then you definitely recall something, and it's just a form of torture that is inhumane, I would say, and I don't think that that's good. I would personally rather just be killed.
I'm inclined to agree with you. It just, even if I don't really have an awareness of myself, like the same feelings or memories or anything like that, it just objectively, I feel more comfortable knowing that my soul had got onto wherever and my body was destroyed than to think that my body had been turned into something that causes destruction because it's incapable of keeping itself from causing destruction.
I think that definitely seeing all the names of the people and the ages and everything is really sad. And that was a moment that kind of made me mad again at Mal, because Mal's trying to rush Alina through here, and he's like, Alina, come with me, come with me. And he's trying to be kind of okay and make sure that she's not emotionally draining herself in a way, but she clearly tells him that she wants to stay here with these people's remembrance items and notes and kind of like makeshift headstones, I guess I would call them.
Yep.
And just reflect on the lives that she actually kind of took away in conjunction with the Darkling. And I think it's a good thing for her to kind of reckon with that and really feel those feelings, as opposed to what Mal is trying to do and just get her to keep moving.
I agree, because we see these stories from Alina's perspective, because she's narrating what's going on. So we are seeing what she's thinking and how she's feeling, because she's telling us as it's happening. So we are inside her head. Mal isn't. But with Mal in moments like this, he thinks he knows Alina so well that he thinks, if I let her linger here, then it's just going to be worse for her, because it's just going to make her feel even more sad and depressed. And she's had more than enough of that. So I need to just try to get her away from it.
Yeah, I think that he also, he knows the Alina that was back at camp in the first book, and he is having, as we'll go forward, a really, 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 really hard time accepting this new evolution of Alina and accepting the fact that she's not that weak little girl that he remembers from the orphanage and from being a map maker. She's a kick-ass bitch who's ready to show up and show out, and she's has her own autonomy.
That's a perfect way to put it. He knows the old her. He doesn't want there to be a new her because she's becoming the new her without giving him a chance to get to know who that is because he doesn't feel connected to it.
Yeah. And well, I think a lot of it, too, is that he sees this happening and he kind of goes on the defensive and just doesn't want to accept it. And she's trying to explain things to him, but he doesn't want to hear her. And it's just sad.
And you know what? Nikolai is just as complicated as Mal, especially in this chapter, because in one minute, he's trying to get Alina to act right for the sake of their plan. And then the next moment, just when you're starting to get really mad at him for expecting Alina to just do everything he says in the moment, he's next thing you know, he's telling you these stories about when he was younger and why he does the things that he does, like why he wants to actually do military service, what he actually wants to accomplish for Ravka, people he's gotten to know, why all this is so important to him, why his family will never understand what it really means to be in charge of other people. And then it makes you think, oh, he's so vulnerable and so honest. I love him. And then the next thing you know, he's like, sit up straight, smile, wave at people, make them like you. And you're like, he doesn't want to do that, dude.
Yeah, Nikolai is just, he's just such a complex character. And I think that's why I really love him, too, because I love a troubled, complex, but still like lovable character, which is why I like Dumbledore so much in the Harry Potter books, because he is... he's got multiple facets to him, and you can see why he's a bad person, but you can also see why he's a good person. And that is a lot of what Nikolai puts out. You can see all the bad things that he's done, and you can also see all the good things that he's done. And you can't really come to a full conclusion as to whether you would put him in like the bad guys category or the good guys category. And he's also in this chapter being like woke but misogynistic at the same time, and you're like, what is going on?
It's because he seems to understand that in order to really accomplish what he wants to politically, he has to play their game in order to beat them at their game. So what he's saying to Alina is sit up straight, smile, wave, act right, get people to like you. What he's not saying is we are never going to accomplish what we need to with these people unless we are willing to play their game. It is such a simple statement. And if he would just say that.
Yeah.
See, this is again where we're similar to Mal. He could really just with a few simple sentences being completely honest about what's happening and why, he could clear up so much.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one too. A lot of these characters, they need definitely lessons on how to communicate a little bit better. Again, we will say they're not very old. I did actually look up the ages for Mal and Nikolai, because in my head, Nikolai was acting a lot more mature than Mal is in these chapters. And I was like, there must be a huge age difference. There's not. Mal is 18 and Nikolai is said to be about 19 or 20. So they definitely could use some classes on communication. I will say, though, I'll give a slightly higher rating to Nikolai than I will to Mal. I think Nikolai gets a little bit better with his communication. I don't have high hopes from what I remember from Mal.
Well, at the end of the chapter, Mal does start to show signs because he is a little bit, he's more agreeable, he's much more agreeable at the end of chapter 10 than he was at the start of chapter 9, because he does at least agree that if Alina needs him to be the captain of her personal guard when they get back, he'll do it.
Yeah, he only takes like a week to decide that, though, and actually say any words to her.
Yes, because he has to brood. If he agreed, you know what, honestly, it would, based on what we've seen so far, it would be out of character if he were that charming and that agreeable that quickly. It just, it fits with his character.
Yeah, immature little whiny bitch.
Sure. Go nuts.
Hi.
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 You know, the last thing I have just as an observation about this chapter that really makes me feel kind of icky is that? When Tamar is talking about how the Shu think of being a Grisha as something physical that you can examine, that makes me feel really nervous. That makes me feel like there's experiments going on, like they're keeping them, like, because we've learned a little bit. Up to this point, we haven't learned that much about how Grisha are viewed in other countries, but yeah. I get the feeling with this moment with Tamar that they don't treat Grisha in other countries the way they treat them in Ravka. They're certainly not setting up armies of them, because if every country had their own army of Grisha, then you would have heard about them. Like how yeah. strong the other countries' Grisha militaries are compared to Ravka's Grisha military. That's part of what makes this whole thing with the Second Army and the Darkling and all these other folks, that's what makes it unique. They're the only ones trying to weaponize the Grisha as people. But the way that Tamar talks about the Shu thinking of being a Grisha as something physical makes me worried that they're not letting the Grisha do things, but they are trying to harness their power.
Yeah, like it's an item that you can kind of acquire their power. And that definitely is not a good look for the Shu people.
Like if they can figure out where, if the non-Grisha can figure out what the source of a Grisha's power is, they can extract it and they can use it for other things. I really don't like that. That makes me feel icky.
Yuck, 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 yuck. Listeners, what we're going to do next is we are going to be playing a game. And this week, the game is curated by me. Hooray!
I saw a document in our folder that said I'm not allowed to look at it, so I followed instructions and did not, but I am really excited about whatever this is.
Okay, so listeners, I was not able to come up with a catchy name for this game because both of the characters that are involved with this and what they are, it just... I couldn't think of anything. I'm sorry. So we're going to play a version of Who Said That? Mal, Orzhov, and Edward Cullen edition.
Oh boy.
This is my proof that Mal is a manipulative ass boyfriend. Because I'm going to give you lines, Jeff, and you have to tell me. Is this something that Edward said? Or is this something that Mal said?
Oh my god. You're doing this on purpose.
I had a lot of fun with this one. I am very excited because even reading through these right now, I would definitely have trouble with some of them placing who said what. But you know what? We'll start you off with the softball, Jeff. So my first quote is, I have to pick an act. I'll do like a low voice. Do I dazzle you?
That sounds like Edward.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was our softball. Okay. That was a good one. Okay.
All right. Good. Great. What's
maybe
next?
I'll just say it in my voice. Okay. He called you pretty. He finally continued, his frown deepening. That's practically an insult. The way you look right now, you're much more than beautiful.
That's Edward.
Yeah, that one was Edward.
I know that one's Edward.
Okay. Next one. It makes me anxious to be away from you.
Wow. I feel like they both said that, but... Oh, I am gonna hedge my bets here, and I'm gonna say that that one was Mal.
Nope, that's Edward Cullen.
Dang it!
Nope, 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 nope. Okay, next one. I don't need to think about it, and neither does she. It isn't going to happen.
That one was Mal.
Yeah, that one's Mal, yeah. Okay. Maybe we can disguise him as a really big tree.
Edward?
No, that was Mal.
Dang it. So now I'm 3 for 5.
Yeah. Okay. He gave a rueful shake of his head. But I guess I'm the same selfish ass I've always been. For all my talk of vows and honor, what I really want is to put you up against that wall and kiss you until you forget you even knew another man's name.
There's no way that one isn't Mal. That one's Mal.
Yeah, that was Mal. I feel like that one was kind of had like Edward vibes to it, though.
Yeah, I can't picture Edward saying that he would put Bella up against a wall, though.
Yeah.
That would, even it's for Edward Cullen, that would feel weird.
Yeah. I think this is our last one.
Okay.
There's something strange about the way you two are together. The way he watches you, it's so protective. It's like he's about to throw himself in front of a bullet to save you or something.
Okay, now you're trying to trick me. Because I thought this was a game of whether Edward or Mal said it. But what you just said sounds like the way Bella's mom describes Edward.
This one is describing someone, yeah.
This one is describing Edward because Bella's mom says that.
Yeah, yeah, you got that one right.
Do you know why I got that?
Because you just reread Twilight?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
That line is from Eclipse specifically, and I remember it because it was this... I was surprised they kept it when they made the movie. When we did Twilight Pod with Spencer and Jess, I think I said that my favorite book and movie from that series was Eclipse, and I remember seeing the movie and thinking, oh my gosh, they actually kept the part where Bella and Edward go to visit her mom. But then I thought, oh, wait, duh, they kind of had to keep that because he was trying to get her out of town for a little while. There was a shady reason for that.
Yeah. Well, that was all the quotes that I had, Jeff. You did pretty well. I'm impressed.
So what was that? 5 for 7? Because I was 3 for 5, then I was 4 for 6, and then I was 5 for 7.
Yeah, I think you got 5 out of 7.
So 5 out of 7, not bad. You got me with 2 of them, though.
That was pretty good, but I think
I missed one Mal and one Edward.
Yeah. I will say, though, pretty similar vibes from both the characters when you're reading some of their lines in the books.
No, your game, I think your game had an objective, and I think you accomplished that objective. You did prove that these two characters are very similar.
Thank you very much. Okay, so, Jeff, we also have one more thing before we close out the episode, and that is the question of the week.
So for our question of the week last week, we wanted to know what you all thought Sturmhahn's true identity was, and surprisingly, we didn't get any answers. So either people just kind of, you know, I think maybe people just thought that Sturmhahn, either people thought Sturmhahn was Sturmhahn, or they figured out that he was Nikolai, and the first time we read it, we were just kind of slow on the uptake. I didn't think he was Nikolai, I thought he was somebody. Because Sturmhahn's just sounds like a fake name. First of all, nobody's going to name their kid that, so it's obviously an identity that he assumed for himself, and he's somebody who's going to be important to the story, or they wouldn't have introduced him.
Yeah, I remember immediately thinking that, at least at a minimum, Sturmhahn was like a nickname for him, and he definitely seemed extremely fishy. So I was definitely suspicious the first time we met him as well, too. So... thank you to no one for getting back to us. We love listening to the ghosts of social media. Hooray. And Jeff, what is our question for this coming week?
Our question for this coming week is about the triangle that we were just discussing, because we've been talking about the pros and cons of what Mal wants and what Nikolai wants and how they're going about it and what they should say, what they shouldn't have said. So I want to know, who do you think is being a bigger jerk? Mal or Nikolai? I know who you think, Juliana.
Oh, I already know my answer. Anyone who's listened to this entire podcast and has gotten this far knows exactly what my answer is.
We've had a lot of pros and cons about these two gentlemen today, and we want to know how you guys feel about what Mal and Nikolai are both up to. So, if you have any thoughts on this, we'll have posts going out on our social medias. Feel free to respond in the comments on our Twitter and our Instagram. You can DM us on both or send us an email if you have any longer thoughts.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us for this week. And next episode, we will be talking about Siege and Storm, chapters 12 and 11. I said that backwards, 11 and 12. And if you'd like to get a head start on reading those, go ahead. We'll see you on the next episode to talk about those chapters. And if you'd like to listen to more of this podcast, you can listen to us on all places where pods are cast, and you can even find us over on YouTube at Into the Fold Podcast.
And we've mentioned our social medias. We have hilarious memes that are mostly made by Juliana. We like to keep up with other shows and what they're doing. So if you want to join in on our amazing community of listeners on social media, you can find us at Into the Fold Pod on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yes, and if you have any longer form answers to our questions or just thoughts, feelings, questions, concerns, or again, Canadian Peyton, where's that piece of Canadian bacon? I'm still waiting for it. I'm going to keep calling you out until you send it or you send me a big old fat no. And You can email anything like that to us at intothefullpod@gmail.com.
And if you want to do something that really helps us out and really makes our day, if you'd like to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or if you just want to scream into the void how much you love Into the Fold, DM us on our socials, however you want to go about it is fine. We love to share your guys' thoughts on the show here with our other listeners, and we just appreciate the heck out of all of you. Juliana is making weird faces at me, which is why I paused just now.
I'm practicing my eyebrow choreography.
Of course you are.
Well, listeners, now that we're done with our eyebrow choreography routine, if you'd like to help us out one other way, the best way that podcasts are spread is not by eyebrow choreography routines, but by word of mouth. So if you'd like to tell someone you know who is interested in these books or you think would really love the podcast, we would really love you right on back if you could share this show in person with some of your friends. So thank you for anyone who has also done that. We love all of our listeners very, very, very much. And Jeff, until next time,
I will see you in the fold, and I will see you in the fold, and I will see you in the fold, because it's a triangle.
Yes, Jeff, I just realized we're not recording the Zoom. Would you like to record the Zoom?
Yeah, sure.
Just in case. We wouldn't have missed
it. Ding, ding, record the Zoom.
Okay.
Recording in progress.
Okay, we should be good then. Okay.
Okay.
So, are you there, Jeff? Or
oh,
did
boy.
You freeze?
Okay.
You might have froze. I think you froze on me.
Oh, goodness.
Jeff!
Well, it looks as though Juliana has...
On me. He's in a weird position and he froze on me. Froze on me.
Dropped off
he
the meeting unexpectedly.
Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
I'm recording on my end. Hopefully.
Okay.
I can get back on the Zoom in a minute. Da 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 da.
Hi.
I was singing the song from Belle's Enchanted Christmas.
Oh, boy.
I have my Audacity running the whole time, Jeff.
That love is the greatest of the gifts we receive.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum. Have you seen Belle's Enchanted Christmas?
No. It just goes back and forth with him, because one minute he's trying to get her to act right.
Uh-huh.
Dang it, I hit my thing. That's what she said.
Oh, Jeff, you froze. Oh no, we're gonna lose Jeff again. Jeff! Jeff! Jeff froze again. He's probably gonna leave me. Okay, Jeff, would you like to start our show?
Yes, I would like to start our show so that we can do the show, and then we will be doing the show. We're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Always.
One,
at
two,
all times.
Never not stopping.
Yeah, that's kind of your life motto.
Sure. I have a life motto, and it is that.
Never not stopping.